went to see my physician. He said, you're definitely ill. Then said the nurse, I've seen worse, and the doctor just gave me a pill. Take one of those 3 times a day, don't ever stop until you're nearly dead or almost better. Keep out of the reach of children. The thing is, there might be some side effects. You mean there probably will? Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, 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 and then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill.
Welcome to When Your Health Matters. Your host is Dr. Richard Hantoon of Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located right here in the Hudson Valley in Newburgh. Dr. Hantoon has been practicing alternative health, utilizing chiropractic and many other alternative health techniques for the past 27 years to support you when your health matters. It's his intention to offer practical advice every week for you to consider and apply in your own life to make your life and the lives of your family and friends healthier and happier. And when you have questions, he'll give you resources to get your health-related questions answered from Doc Rick himself or another expert from the show. Being empowered to make positive health choices before a problem arises is the best way to approach health. And he promises to have information for you every week that will allow you to become proactive and empowered to take control of your health and your life. Doc Rick is grateful you're tuned in today, and your journey will begin after our first commercial break from our generous sponsor.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
I'm here with Bruce Bagan of B&B Pool and Spa Center. We're talking about making home pools and spas green.
As always, it's great speaking with you, Jimmy.
You are the exclusive pool builder that offers the IntelliPool and IntelliSpa.
Jimmy, green is about more than just energy. It's about safety and cleanliness as well.
What makes up an Intelli system?
As far as what's green, it includes a programmable IntelliFlow pump with its built-in shutoff feature that meets New York and New Jersey's requirements for new pools. We use heat pumps that reduce heating costs. We offer solar heating as well. For those people who wish to reduce or eliminate chemicals in the pool, we can install a system that makes their water virtually chemical-free.
Thanks for informing our listeners, Bruce. If you need to contact a pool professional about your pool, call B&B Pool and Spa Center, 787 Chestnut Ridge Road in Chestnut Ridge, and on the web at bbpoolandspa.com, or call 800-594-2137. That's bbpoolandspa.com, 800-594-2137.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Welcome to this week's show, When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Hantoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We are located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park. That is in Pooler, Georgia. We're in Suite 404 of Building 400. We're here each week to share some information I feel is important for your health and the health of your family and friends. And when you have questions, I will ask you to go to spineboy.com. That's Spineboy, SPINEBOY.com, to get some answers. That is my website. It's a 260 different condition page website. Gives you a wealth of information, tells you what the medical perspective is, tells you what the alternative perspective is, and gives you some opportunity to make the right choice for yourself with all the information in front of you to make those considerations. So please take advantage of that. Again, the website is spineboy.com. If you want to get a hold of me, the best way to do that would be to call my cell phone. It's what I carry with me everywhere I go. It's area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. If you want to text me, please don't text that number because the phone does not receive texts. It's just there for phone calls. But if you do want to do the old type your information and send me questions or history or anything like that, please send it to my email. My email is docrick, D-O-C-R-I-C-K, at spineboy.com, docrick at spineboy.com. You can come to a free healthcare class that's held every Tuesday evening at 6:30. Come to the office as a new patient, whatever you need in order to get the answers to the questions that you have. We have an interesting phenomenon in our country to where, diseases become chronic and lifetime diseases as opposed to doing anything to fix those diseases. Heart disease is a lifetime disease, diabetes, cancer, autoimmune disease, all of these different things seem to happen to people for according to the medical profession, unknown reasons because they don't necessarily know why they happen. So they end up treating the effect rather than addressing the cause. Since I don't have the ability to write you a prescription and give you medication, I actually have to find the understanding of what's going on, why it's going on, and when you address the why of a situation, whatever you have tends to go away. Been doing that for over 30 years and would invite you to come see me if you have a difficult health concern. The man that helps me put these shows together every week, his name is Mark Sabin. He's an interfaith minister. He's a marketer extraordinaire. He's a wonderful father. He's a wonderful friend, and he's a Tai Chi master. And he puts together the topics and comes up with the questions to represent you as your advocate, to ask me the questions directly, maybe questions that you would have yourself, but you haven't taken the time to communicate with me. So he asks the questions for you and tries to create clarity for you, the listener. So we appreciate the work that Mark does, the time, energy, and effort that goes into researching the topics for us to discuss, and how he lobs each question up like a wonderful big softball so I can just hit him out of the park. And we want to say thank you very much, and welcome, Mark, and welcome to When Your Health Matters.
Well, thanks, Dr. Rick. It's always a pleasure to be here and to have an opportunity to talk about some of the problems. And, of course, you're talking about these lifetime problems of heart condition, diabetes, and things like that. And of course, as you and I have discussed on the show, we're seeing that more and more frequently, we're seeing that happen in people who are younger and younger. And since this is the time of year when schools are beginning again, some schools have already started, some schools are about to start. So I'd like to talk to you about some of the issues that children are facing starting at this time of year. And to begin with the basics, let's talk about what kids need to bring for snacks when they go to school.
Oh, absolutely. It's important that, you know, God's first medicine is our food.
Mm-hmm.
So setting your kids up for success by sending them to school with quality foods to eat, maybe between classes or maybe, you know, when you're in the younger ages, I remember having snack time and separate from lunch, et cetera. And so hopefully you're going to feed your kids real food. Food that was made by nature and not modified and processed by man. The reason why we have the health concerns that we have, Mark, and we've discussed this a lot, is because we continue to allow our Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, to oversee the bastardization of our food, which helps to keep the healthcare system in business. The business is really good right now, Mark, and it starts with the process. The whole process starts with our children and the foods that they make available for them. So we want the mothers and the fathers to commit to feeding your children real food while avoiding all the completely refined and processed, what I call the crap foods that are advertised. And if you make the effort, the more effort that you make to help your kids be healthy,
mm-hmm.
the easier your life will be, the easier your kids' life will be, and the healthier everybody will be, and just be able to just be on this planet and do God's work.
Well, that's what we really want to do. Now, it's interesting that the other thing is we talk a lot about how much you should drink, and recently I was visiting the pediatrician with one of my children, and she was saying that amongst the teenagers, you know, between 13 and 18 years old, many, many kids will stand up and get lightheaded. And she said there's one reason for that, and one reason only, really, that that happens for these kids, and that's because they don't have enough liquid in their, you know, they're not drinking enough water. They're dehydrated. This is something you and I have talked about a lot. So how much should a child drink?
Well, everyone, including children, needs one quart of water for every 50 pounds they weigh, and they need to do that every day. So with kids, a pint is for kids roughly 25 pounds. So kids below 50 pounds need a quart plus perhaps 8-ounce glass. And depending upon how much the child weighs, I remember when I was going into 10th grade, I was struggling to weigh 100 pounds, okay, because I grew late. And so it just really depends upon how big you are. The bigger you are, the more water, the more liquid you're going to need in your system in order for the metabolic processes to work. And the first thing that happens is when you don't get enough liquid in your system, preferably water, because any of the other liquids that have ingredients added to them, your body treats those as a food and is going to actually lose water in order to digest, let's say, a juice, or let's say, if you're an adult, a coffee or something like that. So you want to drink one quart of water for every 50 pounds you weigh, and you want to do that every day. And so if, you know, we're talking about kids here, and I don't imagine that any of the kids that we would be talking about would weigh 200 pounds, but as you get into junior high and high school and you get these big bone kids and kids that are, you know, really large, et cetera, you just, as a parent, you want to be mindful of the fact that children need, people need one quart of water for every 50 pounds that you weigh, and you want to do that every day. And if you're going to throw exercise in there, you want to add a little bit of extra water. If you're going to throw things that are not water in there, then you're going to probably want to add a little bit of extra water. But the best thing that anybody can do for themselves is to drink water, simply because your brain is 80% water.
Right. And now we've talked about this before, because if you're drinking, because I'm noticing now a lot of the bottled waters that I'm seeing are purified waters. And when they purify the water, they've taken out all the mineral content.
They have. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to add some minerals back to it, like some sodium and maybe some potassium, which is, you know, that's better than nothing. You know, you definitely don't want to drink distilled water, because distilled water is tremendously unhealthy for you. But you want to drink spring water. That's the third best type of water. You want to drink mineral water, which is better than spring because it's got higher concentration of minerals. And if you really want to get the best kind of water, you want to drink artesian well water.
Mm-hmm.
And that's water that comes out of a confined aquifer that has everything in it, the immune building properties, all the minerals, all the trace minerals, et cetera, that is, you know, was intended for all of us to have as our primary liquid.
Mm-hmm. And minerals are we underrate, I think, how important minerals are to your health.
Absolutely.
So now, I mean, people have very busy lives, and if you walk through the grocery store, you'll see all these delicious-looking snack foods everywhere. So it is hard to fall into that, not to fall into that trap of eating chips and crackers and cookies and that sort of thing. So how do you help a child balance what he or she eats?
You need to educate them. Tell them the right thing to do, and I promise you that they will do it. I had a circumstance where I was at a friend's house one day, an Italian family, and we were hanging out. And at Italian families, at least up where I used to live in New York, there's always a plethora of food out when you go to an Italian family's house. And mm-hmm. It's like, it's just help yourself, blah, blah, blah. And so we were all conglomerating in the kitchen. And this 12-year-old walked into the kitchen and kind of maneuvered his way through the crowd and got to the refrigerator, opened the refrigerator, and pulled out a liter of orange soda and closed the refrigerator door, and then kind of pushed his way past me to go get a glass. And I said, hold on a second. I said, I want to show you something. I think this will be curious for you to experience. And he's mm-hmm. like, what's that? I said, put the soda down for a second. And he's like, all right. And I said, do you have an arm that... one arm versus the other that's a little bit stronger? He's like, well, I do everything with my right arm. I'm like, so hold your right arm up. And I put some pressure on it, and he demonstrated that he was strong. I mm-hmm. said, great, so you're strong, and this shows that you're strong. I said, now pick up that orange soda. And he picks it up, and he holds the liter to his chest, and I said, now try to hold your arm strong, and his arm went down.
He couldn't hold it up.
And he didn't ask any questions. He just promptly took the liter of orange soda, pushed his way back through the crowd, put it back in the refrigerator, went and got a glass of water, and walked out of the kitchen. And I was just like, now there's a kid who's very astute, who didn't ask any questions, but he understood what I just demonstrated to him.
Mm-hmm.
And without needing to have a conversation, he was just like, okay, if holding that makes me weak, I can't imagine what it's going to do if I put it inside of me. And, you know, it was a great teaching opportunity, and I truly believe that he got the lesson. And I don't know if he went back to sodas later or what have you, but I didn't judge the soda, didn't pass any judgment on him. I just said, I just want to show you something curious. And he came to the right conclusion on his own without mm-hmm. any dialogue whatsoever. And he went on to a healthier choice. And
interesting.
Kids want to do the right thing. They just want to know, well, what is the right thing?
Yeah, but I mean, it is really difficult and tough to avoid sugar. And because, as you and I have discussed, sugar is an addictive substance, so it satisfies certain cravings that you have, emotional cravings as well as physiological
right.
cravings.
Esteem cravings is essentially what sugar does. It helps to stimulate the organ in the gland that helps you regulate sugar balance. And so sugar is tied directly to your self-esteem. And so when you're throwing a lot of sugar into the system, you're artificially pumping up a person's sense of feeling good or feeling energized kind of thing. But at the end of the day, when there's no nutrition associated with those high sugar content foods, the bottom drops out and you're constantly going through highs and lows. And over time, mm-hmm. that ultimately stresses the liver pancreas system out, which leads to diabetes. And that's why we have a lot of children today who don't have what used to be called adult onset diabetes. Now we have a lot of these kids developing, quote, type 2 diabetes.
And they're developing it younger and younger.
Younger and younger. 7 and 8 year olds who've taken their whole life and they've already blown up and blown out and caused dysfunction within their pancreas.
That's very sad. It's very sad. But the sugar is in virtually every packaged food you'll find.
It is, and what's important is what you can do about that is teach your child about the health hazards of eating sugar, set the example, and don't bring it into the house. Sure, they'll come across it out in the public, but if you help them commit to not having it by not having it in the house, they will benefit both short and long term, and it's just a question of the parent needs to make the right decision. The challenge is a lot of times is the parent already has the sugar addiction.
Yeah.
And, you know, when they go shopping, they're going up and down the aisles with that sugar addiction and they're grabbing items that help to, oh, that would taste good now. And you know, sometimes I see adults in the store while they're shopping eating what they just put in their cart.
Mm-hmm.
They'll pay for it when they get to the cash register, but you know what? They were jonesing for something now, and there it is, and I have access to it, so I'll just start eating it now. Let me get an extra bag because I'll probably polish this one off while I'm in the store.
I was in a grocery store just the other day, and it seemed to me that here was the sugar aisle with all the cookies and cakes and snacks like that. Then there was the sugar drink aisle, and then there was the salt aisle, where you had all the potato chips and crackers and things like that. So are those, when you go from the sugary snacks, can I balance it out by having salty snacks?
Well, in a perfect world, the answer is no. The interesting thing is I used to have an interesting relationship with the manager of the grocery store where my wife used to live in New York. And she called us the organic couple because we were always buying healthy food and we stayed out of the aisles. And so as she would always say hello to us when my wife and I would go food shopping, I would ask her questions. And the one question that I asked her was, I said, why do you guys bonus people to buy crap food? She says, I don't understand. I said, when I get your flyer in the mail every week, all the specials that you're running are on foods that aren't healthy for people, which entices people to buy unhealthy foods because they get to save money.
Right.
There's never a sale on corn, or there's never a sale on green peppers or on tomatoes or whatever. And it's I don't understand, why is there an incentive to get people to buy the food that has no nutritional value, and then we wonder why there's a thing called obesity? And she was just like, you know, I don't have any control over that. And I said, well, you may have more control than you think you have. You just have to make a commitment to get educated yourself, and then maybe you can separate your store from all the other stores in the area. Why? Because you're actually taking some time, and if you want, I'll be happy to do some seminars in your grocery store for people and, you know, do a huge shop with a doc program as opposed mm-hmm. to just a family shop with a doc program. And, you know, it. I don't know whether she took me seriously. I don't know if the powers that be above her kind of got in the way. But when I came back a couple of times and tried to pick up the conversation again, and she got to the point where she was always too busy to talk with me. So I feel that either her, and I don't think it was her, I think the people above her were just like, well, our doors stay open because of all that crap that we sell, kind of thing.
Well, that's true for them probably. And also what I found one time I was talking to the grocer and the discounts. So the food company offers some discount, then the distribution place offers some discount, and then the grocery store typically passes that discount on to the customers. And a lot of times it's not the grocery store itself that's discounting it, but it's their supply chain that gives them those discounts, and then they pass them on to the customers. So they're incentivized to give the discounts because it doesn't cost the store anything.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And it's just we have to do a better job, and we have to teach our children about the health hazards of eating sugar, and again set the example by not bringing it into the house. And you know, it's just, if kids always look to their parents trying to figure out, well, what's the right thing to do? And if you don't give them enough guidance, they're going to make their own choices. And then sometimes those choices lead to complications. And we can look at the society that we live in and see how much heart disease and how much diabetes and how much blood pressure and how much cholesterol issues that we have. And it all goes back to, what kind of habits are you training your children to do?
Mm-hmm. And a lot of things that people don't necessarily associate with having sugar, like crackers or pasta or breads, are actually, when the food it's at the elemental level, is the sugar.
Right, it's 100% sugar.
Yeah. So the other thing that is important to deal with when you're dealing with kids and this whole back to school time is bedtimes. And sometimes with young kids, they're not getting enough sleep. So let's begin with, how much sleep does your child need?
Well, babies need a huge amount of sleep, except when they want to eat or be changed. And as you get older, your sleeping habits change and the number of hours changes. Ideally, encourage all 8 and under to go to bed at about 7 or 7:30. 8 to 12, if your age is 8 to 12, maybe by 9 p.m. And if you're 12 to 17, 9:30 or maybe 10. But the more sleep that they can get to recover, because in school, you throw a lot of information at these kids, and you're making their brains work hard. And you want to make sure that, A, they have enough water to make the brain continuously function, and then they want to have good nutrients so that they can concentrate and think and mm-hmm. understand relationships and be able to retain those relationships as far as learning goes. And so the younger you are, the more sleep you want to get.
But one of the things that I hear a lot, and I have teenage daughters, so the sleep cycle is very different amongst adolescents, where it seems that they actually, their whole circadian cycle moves later in the day. They actually do better if they can sleep in later. But, you know, the schools are oftentimes getting middle school and high schoolers to get up earlier and earlier because they're trying to support the sports programs and other after school extracurricular things. And it actually seems to have a problematic impact on these kids, because they're not really finding it easy to go to sleep at 9, 10 o'clock at night.
Right. And the other thing is, and I'm sure we're going to get into this, but, you know, all our gadgets and gizmos, all our tablets and iPads and phones and those sorts of things that these kids get to play with, and they get energized by them and they get intrigued by them, mm-hmm. and it becomes intense, and, you know, you take it away from them and they get upset. And you know, I think it's important as a parent that you set some rules and some really hard guidelines in terms of what time you turn those devices off and what time, you know, you're allowed to use them, for how many hours a day that you're allowed to use them, if you're even allowed to use them for hours a day, making sure that they have to get their homework done before they're allowed to use their devices, and setting it up so that they understand at the end of the day. Again, children want to know what the right thing to do, and they want a good hard rule in terms of where the boundaries are, and, mm-hmm. and how to stay within the boundaries, and how to do the right thing, and how to please the parent, and how to get along. And you know, different families create different rules, and they're sometimes all over the map. And You know, my mom was very strict with me in terms of my upbringing, and my older brother ruined opportunities for me because he did things that she gave him a little bit of rope and he hung himself, and then she took that opportunity away from me completely. And so, you know, and then my two younger brothers, by the time they got to be old enough, my parents were kind of worn down, so they pretty much had free reign of the roost. And it's like, you know, so it's interesting when you look at the different ages of kids growing up. You know, you see the commercial on television where the black couple has a baby for the first time, and by the time the second one comes along, you know, instead of bathing the kid in the sink, you know what, grab the kid and you take a shower with the kid, and you want to, you know, bring mom, and she's like, no, that's all right, I'm going to go take care of the other kid, kind of thing. And so
yep.
It's interesting, as you know so well, that as kids get older, You set up routines. You were really rigid for the firstborn, and you're significantly less rigid by the time the next one comes along, or like, the one after that.
That's right. The first one gets a lot of pictures, and the second one you've kind of lost the luster of that. Let's talk about hygiene for kids. Hygiene is important for everybody. And so how should you teach your children something as simple as to how to wash their hands?
Well, you want to teach them how to wash their hands, you know. It's, again, every opportunity that you have with your kid is a teaching opportunity. If you're sitting in the car and you're driving, there's teaching opportunities. If you're sitting at home, there's other teaching opportunities. When you go to the store, there's teaching opportunities. There's always opportunities to teach your kids. And, you know, hand sanitizers is a tough situation because we live in a germophobic society. And unfortunately, you and I have discussed the importance of the microbiome and even the microbiome on your skin. And when you're using these antibacterial soaps or alcohol sanitizers, et cetera, what you're doing is you're denaturing the microbiome that naturally protects you and protects your immunity and protects your skin. And so hand sanitizers, from my perspective, are the death of all of us. It disrupts the delicate microbiome of the skin, which is basically an immune defense. So sanitizers destroy this defense and make your children more prone to getting sick. Wash hands with soap and water, and you're fine, and please eliminate the bacterial soaps.
Well, and we even find, and you and I have talked about this as well, that young kids, you know, they're playing in the dirt, their hands go into their mouths, and actually a lot of that is part and parcel of building an immune system that works.
Right, because they're being exposed in small dosages, these things that naturally exist in our environment, and the way that the immune system develops, we have two different parts. We have the innate that it was given to us by our mom, and then we have the immune system that develops based upon exposure. And so allowing your kids to go out, certainly not by themselves, but go out and play in a controlled environment. But so what if they fall down and get a cut? So what if they, you know, play in the dirt? So what if they, you know, get dirty and fall down? And that's part of growing up.
Yeah, and it's important because one of the things that you find is, you know, there are a lot of autoimmune diseases and things where the immune system isn't functioning for people as they're grown up. So having a strong immune system is really a key to one of the things that we talk about every week, which is how to be healthy.
Exactly.
Well, this has been a great conversation so far, Doc Rick. We need to take a short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, I want to talk to you some more about children, about this back-to-school time, and what we can do to keep our kids healthy.
Absolutely, but please listen to this commercial from our generous sponsor. You're listening to the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Do you have health concerns? Are you or a loved one struggling with a health condition that has you worried? Worried it might get worse? Worried you will never be able to do the things you love anymore? Worried your life is slowly slipping away? Do you have a chronic pain condition? Do you have a specific health concern? Do you have concerns about your child's health? Do you want to learn about health and wellness? If you said yes to any of these questions, you need to go to spineboy.com. Spineboy.com is your information center for all your health concerns and how to restore and improve your health to its highest level. Spineboy.com has over 1,000 articles on different health concerns. Spineboy.com will inform you about your health concerns and what you can do without all the harmful medications and invasive surgeries. If you would like to restore and improve your health, go to Spineboy.com. 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 Naturally.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you are listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We are located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park. That is in Pooler, Georgia. We're in Suite 404 of Building 400. Best way to get a hold of me would be to call this little contraption I have in my hand called my cell phone. It goes directly to me, and I'll be the one answering that phone. The phone number for that is area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. You can email me directly at docrick@spineboy.com. Please don't try to text my phone because it doesn't receive texts. But if you want to do that, you can send me an email to docrick@spineboy.com, D-O-C. R-I-C-K at spineboy.com. And as always, it would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding with the concerns that you have regarding your health. And today, Mark and I are talking about an important topic. Some schools have already started up. Some schools are getting ready to start. Some schools will start next month. So we want to talk to back to school.
Yeah, and one of the things that can be extraordinarily difficult for a parent to deal with is if they have a child who has a health issue. In fact, in some ways, it can be a bigger deal for the parents in some ways. But is it different to have a sick child who's suffering, and how do you support a parent through those times?
Well, it's important. The same thing, as always, is always be educating them and encouraging them to make their health and their family's health a priority. Otherwise, you're going to definitely struggle and have many doctor's visits and or child or children that are always getting sick. And I see it a lot because, you know, sometimes parents will bring their kids to me as a solution because they're tired of going to the medical and they just keep getting prescriptions, keep getting more prescriptions. This is like the seventh ear infection my kid has had, and obviously the antibiotics aren't doing the thing. And now I've listened to your show, and I can understand that my kid now is a sugar junkie and their digestive system is all screwed up, and now they're just getting chronically sick three or four times a year, and I want to put an end to that. And that's a wonderful place. I'm sorry the person has had to suffer to get to that level of awareness. My hope is that somebody listening won't have to suffer through that in order to get to the awareness that we're giving them today. But it's important that when somebody is truly ready to understand how to raise a healthy child, there are things that can be done, and they have to be, you know, a mind is like a parachute. It only works when it's open, and the person has to be open to wanting to do that. I try to encourage couples who are interested in conceiving and starting a family or adding to their family, good. Come spend a good 6 months with me, not a whole 6 months, like not every day for 6 months, but come spend some time with me over the course of 6 months, and let me give you the understanding that you need so that you can start that whole situation off better. Mom will be healthy, so good. The chances of her having a healthy child is going to be better because her health doesn't have issues. Mm-hmm. And if she's healthy, then her child will 99% of the time be healthy. And then now you're not having to put fires out because the kid was born with the effects of a digestive issue that the mom had that would pass that on to the child, and now the child is a sugarholic before they're even 1 year old.
Yeah, they find that that kids are being born with some of these conditions that you wouldn't expect to happen in an infant or a child at all.
Right, kids having reflux. Kids being given antacids that are like, you know, less than 6 months old. And when I had a patient come in and said that, you know, my kid's suffering with what the doctor said is reflux. And I said, well, what did the doctor do? Well, the doctor put him on an antacid. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding. You got to be kidding me. That's going to suppress their immune system and their ability to grow because they can't. They don't have an acidic stomach and can no longer absorb calcium. And it's like, what kind of crazy advice is that? It's like, okay, well, why don't we figure out why your kid has reflux? Well, your kid has got an allergy to the formula because you chose not to breastfeed, or maybe you weren't able to breastfeed, but, you know, we need to make some adjustments so that the kid's gallbladder isn't getting irritated, creating reflux and all of that. And it's, you know, I really appreciate parents who are in a position to want to learn. And you know, the wonderful book that was written quite a number of years ago, What to Expect While You're Expecting. I love when patients bring that book in and they kind of quiz me on and they kind of ask me questions with the book in hand. And, you know, it says here that this is, and how do you feel about that? And it's, you know, I like a parent who is so very ready to be a parent and is interested and wants to be actively involved and wants to do the right thing. And those are wonderful. And then there are those parents out there that their life circumstances don't necessarily allow for that because of work schedules or financial difficulties. You know, I had a patient in my office this morning who literally has four jobs.
Oh, my.
Okay, and one of her jobs is as a supervisor to stuff that relates to her other three jobs, and because she's really good at her other three jobs is why they made her a supervisor and all that. But, you know, it's there are different circumstances out there, and it's very, very tough. And so I want to have parents understand simple things that they can do to help make sure that their child has the best opportunity to be healthy.
Well, one of the simple ways that children tend to get sick is to catch colds. They might catch it from other kids in the school that get passed around. So is there something specific that you would teach children about catching a cold and not how to avoid catching a cold?
Well, I would teach them how important it is to wash their hands and wash their hands often and to eat healthy food and to avoid the sugar that sets one up for a suppressed immune system and opens them up to getting sickness. You know, we always teach them to, if they're going to sneeze, how to sneeze and where to sneeze and turn your head away from everybody else to sneeze and sneeze into your arm kind of thing. And, you know, being sure to just be mindful of washing your hands. And, you know, the overuse of hand sanitizers, I think, is, as I mentioned in the first segment, I think is a problem for all of us. And I would like parents to consider not using hand sanitizer so much, but just simply using and teaching kids to use warm salt,
good old
soapy water.
Yeah, good old soap and water. What's the difference between a cold and a flu?
Colds create congestion, while flus create fevers and achiness throughout the body. A flu will last a couple of days. A cold could last a week or so. Colds are something that you want to feed. You want to give food to a cold, and you want to starve a fever, because fevers are reacting to an infection in the body. And if you put food in there, that could sustain the pathogen that's causing one to have a fever. Low-grade fevers are typically viral in nature. Mm-hmm. High-grade fevers are more bacterial. So anybody with a fever below 101, typically that's going to be a viral infection. And anybody mm-hmm. with a fever above 101, that's typically going to be bacterial. And so at the end of the day, you want to try to get the kids to stay away from sugar because you don't want to feed the infection. And you definitely want to stay away from dairy because dairy creates mucus, and mucus traps infection and makes it harder for the immune system to eradicate mm-hmm. the infection.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned two different types of fevers. Should a parent always keep a child home if it has a fever?
Oh, absolutely. When they're sick with a fever, that's when a kid should definitely stay home, because you don't necessarily want to go share that with all your friends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, what about when should the parent bring that child to the doctor?
When the child has something the parent is not comfortable managing for themselves. New parents go to the doctors all the time, and the doctor hopefully educates them on when it's important and when it's okay to keep them home and to manage their condition. And my thought is, if in doubt, go to the doctor, or at least call and have a conversation. And hopefully you have a doctor that you can reach via phone. I'm not a pediatrician, but I deal with a lot of childhood sickness. I'm happy for parents to call me. I can't imagine, you know, a very popular pediatrician having a lot of time to be on the phone. That's why you need to have a good support staff that has the ability, whether it's mm-hmm. a physician's assistant or the nurse that's in the office that has the ability to answer these questions. But you also want to make sure, if you are a nurse or if you are a physician's assistant, you want to make sure that you do definitely make the doctor aware of this particular parent calling in with this particular child situation. And hopefully the doctor, when a moment opens up in the schedule, will have an opportunity to call the parent back, because mm-hmm. parents, especially new parents, they need a lot of handholding. And there's nothing wrong with getting the handholding and getting an education in the process. And it's not just, what do I do to treat the situation and send them on their way? No, take the time and as a parent, take the time to ask the questions so mm-hmm. that you're prepared. And if you can't get those questions answered, by all means, call me. I'm happy to answer the questions.
Mm-hmm. Now, kids, sometimes they get injuries while they're at school. And, you know, along with the bumps and scrapes, there's sometimes things like broken bones or more serious cuts and abrasions. What should parents keep in mind when the child heals from such an injury?
You want to keep in mind their nutrition. You want to avoid sugar and those things that will slow the healing time. If a bone is broken, we have two supplements that repair bones faster than just letting it heal on its own. Getting a person back to normal as fast as possible is always better. I actually just had a patient who was resistant to what it is that I asked her to do, and instead of getting those two supplements from me, she told me that she would get them from a local doctor down the street from her. Come to find out, the doctor didn't have those on hand, and she never got them. And now here she is 16 weeks after breaking a bone in her foot. And we just had x-rays taken yesterday, and I went and talked to the radiologist about them. And here's somebody that's in her mid to late 30s that has, huge, huge, huge mineral demineralization of the bone in her foot because she's been wearing a cast for so long because it hasn't healed the way that she thought it should heal. And it's like, okay, well, now the broken, but there's nothing wrong with the bone. The bone's fine. No evidence of any break there. That's healed, but the mineral content of the bone is severely diminished. And, you know, it's like, okay, she needs to be walking on that foot to put pressure on the bones so that the bones will remineralize and get strong again. The challenge is that it's hard for her to walk on the foot. So you definitely want to take care of things when they're supposed to be taken care of and make sure that you add nutrition to anything, especially if a bone is broken. The bones will heal quickly if you give them the right ingredients.
Mm-hmm. Now, another thing that we see a lot of in children is asthma. What can you say about childhood asthma?
Well, it's very common and should be addressed alternatively first and medically second. Most parents don't know how effective chiropractic is for asthma and how you can avoid the inhaler steroids if they do chiropractic regularly. And for me, with the kids that I work with that have asthma, we're able to help eliminate that asthma relatively quickly. And, you know, as a precaution, the parents still want to keep the inhaler around, and that's fine. But you don't want to get the kid addicted to using the inhaler because putting steroids, which is a lot of these inhalers are made from, is going to interfere with the physiology and the healing of the body. And now you're setting the kid up for other health issues as a result of that. And you want to give kids every opportunity to just simply be healthy and be normal.
Yeah. Now, we mentioned in the first segment this thing of this type 2 diabetes, and it's starting younger and younger. Is that just a matter of the diets that people are having? Is that what's causing this, or are there other factors involved?
Well, sugar is the death ingredient for society. Sugar all the time will burn out the pancreas by 5 or 6 or in some cases 7 years old, and that person will develop type 2 diabetes. And this can very easily be solved by eliminating sugar and being a good parent and showing tough love by not allowing these over-refined and processed crap foods into the house and not setting your child up for the addiction to these foods. And it requires a parent to truly embody what it means to be a parent, which is to always be doing the right thing. And, you know, it's the job of the grandparent to sabotage their child's raising of the kids, because grandparents always seem to bring their grandkids sweets. And it's just like, I have a bunch of parents who basically tell their parents, no, you're not allowed to bring any of that crap into our house because you're not going to undermine my ability to keep your grandkid, my kid, healthy.
Yeah, the grandparent syndrome. Well, this is a fabulous conversation, Dr. Rick. We need to take a short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, I want to talk to you about some other issues that folks want to deal with, their children and their children's health.
Absolutely, but please listen to this commercial from our generous sponsor. You're listening to the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com.
You're listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Dr. Huntoon is pleased to announce a new program for current practice members or any prospective new patients. It's called Shop with a Doc, where individuals, a family, or other small groups can go to the grocery store or health food store and learn these valuable tips. What to buy to be healthy, what not to buy to be healthy, how to pick out foods specific for your unique health concern, why it's important to pay attention to ingredients, how to read labels, and much, much more. To find out more about Shop with the Doc, call 845-561-BACK or email Dr. Huntoon at docrick@spineboy.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you are listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We are located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park, and that is in Pooler, Georgia. And if you want to get a hold of me to ask me a question, by all means, please call my cell phone directly. It's the phone that I carry with me everywhere I go, whether I'm working in New York or working down in Pooler, whether I'm on vacation, whether I'm sitting at home. So it's the best way to get a hold of me. Area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. You can email me directly at docrick@spineboy.com. That's docrick at spineboy.com. Please don't text my phone because it doesn't receive texts. It's just a phone for talking. But if you have a question, I want to answer your question, and hopefully we're answering some of the parents' questions and how to raise a healthy child. That is our topic today, and getting back to school and This is an opportunity to get back into the routines and set up your child's health for success. You know, you go back to school, you get exposed to a lot of pathogens that other children bring to the school because of whatever they've done during the summer months, et cetera. And you want to give your child the best opportunity to just be healthy the whole school year.
Yeah, and I wanted to turn our attention a little bit to some of the social and emotional challenges that you have with children as they go back to school. So as a parent, you want to be able to navigate through some of these things. And there may be a disruption in the home. There might be a loss of a job, or things like divorces or moving locations. What can you do to help your child deal with these kind of big changes in their lives?
Well, at the end of the day, I'm going to speak directly to the parent because this is up to the parent. I want the parent to encourage open communication and share their emotions when they were a child growing up. And the child may be more open to sharing what they're going through because, oh, my mom felt the same way that I feel, mm-hmm. or my dad felt the same way that I feel. And so communication is vital for the relationship between parents and their children. And encouraging open communication, you know, you're not going to get punished for feeling the way that you feel. You're not wrong for feeling the way that you feel. I want to help you navigate that. I'm sorry if it may be a little bit embarrassing, but it's better to be embarrassed in front of your parent than it is to be embarrassed in front of your peers. And so I won't ever make you feel bad for having a question or, you know, not knowing how to navigate this or feeling uncomfortable or even when it, you know, you become prepubescent and pubescent and you start to have thoughts and ideas about sexuality and intimacy and all of those things. And it's important just to maintain open communication. In my household growing up, we ate dinner as a family every single night.
Mm-hmm.
My mom came home from work. The kitchen had to be spotless when she came home because she was now going to cook dinner for us. And if the kitchen wasn't spotless, she wasn't cooking dinner until it was. So she trained us and basically demanded of us to make sure that the kitchen is clean because when she went to work in the morning, the kitchen was clean. And when she comes home from work, she didn't contribute to anything that would have been in the kitchen, so the kitchen should still be clean. And if it's clean, then she made a nice home-cooked meal for us, and we got to talk as a family around the dinner table about, we went around, each one of my three brothers and myself and my parents, and we all went around and we all had a turn to talk about what was going on in our lives and what we were experiencing or what was difficult for us, et cetera. And it's just important to keep the communication open and encourage it and to be the example of showing how to communicate and sharing your own feelings as an adult and reminding them that, you know what, it's normal that you feel that way. This is how I felt when I was your age, and this is how I dealt with it. And this is what advice I would give you to deal with how you're dealing with stuff.
Yeah, I find that a lot of times what you're saying about being able to share what goes on with you and your experience will really help a child to know what it is to tell you their story.
Right.
Because they don't necessarily know how to tell their story. I mean, when they play with their kids, I watch my kids play with their friends, and they're playing pretend games. And a lot of times when we talk as a family, we're talking about the events of our lives. What happened in school today? What's going on with you? What if you had a conflict with a friend? And you know, sometimes your kids will have a problem and a difficulty dealing with a sibling or dealing with friends or going to school and maybe even being bullied.
Right, getting picked on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had this whole movement about anti-bullying, and that's wonderful, and it's important for people to feel safe and have an ability to be themselves. And I love the upcoming generation in terms of, you know, they don't necessarily see color anymore as far as skin color. And, mm-hmm. you know, a person is a person, and that's wonderful for our society because it's like, you know what, we're all part of the same species of beings, and we need to treat each other equally regardless of how you look or what your beliefs are or you know, how you go about your life. And you know, as you get into being teenagers or even subtly younger than teenagers and you start to identify sexually one way or another with a particular gender or what have you, it's important to gain acceptance and to feel good about who you are and be able to express who you are openly without feeling like you're going to be made fun of. And so the anti-bullying and all of that is going on and has been going on in our society, I think it's very, very important.
Well, I think it's, and you raise an important issue, and that is that when a child is taught to accept themselves as they are and to excel, they can actually then fulfill their potential. And sometimes they may be different than what the societal norm is,
right.
But that doesn't mean that they have any less potential. And if you want that child to be able to fulfill what's possible, you have to allow the child to be, first of all, who he or she is.
And nurture that within them.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
If a child doesn't have an aptitude towards sports, you shouldn't force them to play sports. You should allow them to help you appreciate what they do have an aptitude for,
sure.
And then encourage that.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, what about when you're, let's say, the things that I'm involved with, that you're involved with to an extent, mind and body exercises, things like yoga and tai chi and martial arts and things of that nature, are those things a good direction to take a child?
Oh, absolutely, because if you get into martial arts or if you get into one of these activities that is very disciplined, and you know, I've shared a couple of stories when I was taking tai chi and learning tai chi with you, and you were showing me, even though I thought I was in the right position, and there was just subtle differences between what the correct position is versus what the other one is. And if you're in the right position, you can't, there was nothing you could do to move my base. And,
right.
And when I wasn't in the right position, which was just a subtle difference off, you could push me over with a simple finger and
just blow on you.
Having the ability to get involved in sports and getting involved in activities that you have an affinity for and allow a kid to develop and figure out for themselves what they have an interest in.
Mm-hmm.
My parents, with me growing up as a kid, my parents were not interested in me not participating in an activity. So their rule was, you're not coming home from school every day and sitting on the couch and doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to participate in something. You figure out which thing you want to participate in, and we will support you to participate in that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I bounced around from a couple of different sports, and you know, I appreciate all sports and I follow all sports, and you know, I can tell you who's in first place in which league and, you know, who the star players are and all of that. But, you know, it's not the same now as an adult as it
sure.
was when I was a kid. But
sure.
you know, I remember collecting baseball cards and you know, wanting to keep them pristine and all of these kinds of things. And it's just important to figure out as a parent what kind of aptitudes your kid has and whatever you can do to support that. You know, we basically process information 23 different ways.
Hmm.
Public schooling teaches primarily two.
So it's missing out on
a lot. There's a lot about a child that public schooling isn't necessarily going to stimulate all that well. And you know, so kids need to have, but you also want to monitor the overutilization of these electric gadgets and gizmos. And you know, it's if a kid becomes more social on a game as opposed to socializing with other human beings, that can create problems too.
Yeah. Well, this has been a great conversation, Doc Rick, and clearly there's a lot more we could talk about raising children. It's you know, you spend, if you just have a normal life with a child, you're going to spend 18 years raising that child and
hopefully
and teaching and exactly. If anybody wants to continue the conversation with you and wants to reach out to you and have more of a conversation, whether it's about their children's health or their own health, what's the best way to reach you?
Best way to do that would be to call my cell phone. I give it out every time we're on the radio, and people are sometimes surprised that when they call it that it is actually my cell phone and I answer the phone. Yeah, I'm giving it to you because I want you to reach out and communicate, and that's totally your choice when your health matters. And that best phone number is area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. You can email me directly at docrick@spineboy.com. That's docrick@spineboy.com. Either way, I would appreciate having a conversation with you, giving you the information and the guidance and the understanding that you need to solve a particular health-related issue or to solve a behavioral issue or to solve, I don't know, any kind of health issue. It's my pleasure. And so please reach out to me. Evidently, Mark's motioning that we're out of time for today, so I'm going to ask you to tune back in next week. Same health time, same health station. This is Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center saying, I look forward to supporting you when your health matters.
What started out as a headache has become a pain in the butt. What was just an itchy finger now is a swollen foot. Doctor, I've been out of breath and I've never walked up a hill. Avoid all diet and exercise, I'd rather give you a pill. The thing is, there might be some side.